Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hey, welcome to New Life Live. This is not a New Life Classic Friday show. There's nothing classic about this show or classy, so we're glad you don't.
Nothing classy.
Hey. You've got Alice and I here, Steve.
There's nothing. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay. So we have. We have some class, but it's not a classic. You know, we were on our trip that we take, and some folks said, "Yeah, I listen every day except for Friday." Because you're not on, so you're not live.
So we are. We heard maybe
we ought to change this. And so here we are live, and you may not be used to calling on Friday. So here's the number, 1-800-229-3000. I've got two calls already before we even announce it. But you might get in today because it probably isn't a high call day because folks aren't used to calling on Fridays. But 1-800-229-3000, two doctors and a non-doctor. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Alice Benton, Steve Arterburn
and
here.
Ready, Dr. Steve Arterburn.
Yeah, ready to take your phone calls. Now, have to start by saying this is November the 3rd. Mm-hmm. It's the third day of our focus here in November on Thanksgiving. And there's a group of very thankful supporters. They pooled their support to challenge others to do the same. They came up with $260,000, and they said,
"Wow,
we're going to give you this. We're going to give you this no matter what." So it's not like a matching fund. They just said, "But use this to challenge other people to come alongside and match this rather than us match their money. Ask them to match ours." And I'm thrilled because you know what? We're all in this together. This is not some group of people doing New Life. New Life doesn't exist without the support of you. We all support New Life and to different degrees in one way or another, but we're all in this together. Every time somebody calls, and because of that phone call, they sit down on Thanksgiving with the whole family, and they're together, and the dad's cutting the turkey because he didn't have to move out because he didn't take care of the problem. That's on you guys. That's on your support did that. We can't do it without you. And when we were over in Greece, three women walk up. They see somebody's name tag. It's got New Life on it. They go, New Life.
No.
They're from the Virgin Islands. They go,
"Oh, really?"
We're on WGOD, great station down there. I think that's the station we're on, W God. And they said, "Yeah, we know. We love New Life." And so in that area, we may be the only counseling that they get. And like in Nome, Alaska, we may be the only counseling that somebody gets. And so that's not us, that's us. You, the supporter, the listener, all of us together. So please help us, because I got to tell you something. We need help to stay on the air in all of the places that we're on in 2018. Makes all the difference in the world. So please, if you can, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and help us help others in 2018. And we'll send you the 2018 30th anniversary calendar. 30 years of ministry happens in 2018. But right now you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. And we'll be back right after this. By the way, you KFAX listeners, Jill Hubbard, myself, Chris Williams, we're coming up there to see you. We're going to be with you. We'll tell you about that later on also.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 10th through the 12th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and a gift of any amount, you get the New Life 2018 wall calendar. It's our 30th anniversary. Every month's got a pearl of wisdom. Some of them are actually diamonds, some nickels, and beautiful pictures, photography, all the stuff that we're involved with. And as I mentioned, November the 10th, that's Friday, 7 p.m., Christ Community Church in Milpitas. I'm going to be up there with Jill and then Chris Williams. We're going to take questions, we're going to talk, and we're going to record a radio program. It's going to be a great time. It'll be a lot of fun. We always love getting to be with you. So right now, I'm going to go to the phones, and I'm going to talk with, right there on line number uno, Martha. San Diego, California. Hey, Martha. KNLB is the station. How you doing?
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for your radio station. I just opened my mind to just call you and ask you this question.
Okay.
I am very frustrated with my husband accusing me of being unfaithful, and it's been already over a year where I constantly hear that from him, which I am not being unfaithful. I have stopped having intimate relationship with my husband because of the same thing. I have no desire to be with him at all and anybody else.
Okay.
Martha.
Is there, first of all, I want to get this out of the way. Is there anything that was going on that he would be suspicious of? That was, you know, was there anything like Facebook or anything that would cause him to be suspicious? That's a valid suspicion.
Yes.
Okay.
He
what was that?
Told me. We used to have this person that used to come and help us take care of some properties to clean them up and do all of that. My husband didn't want to do it, so he accepted someone to come and help me. And one day he came and he said this guy gave him a really bad look. And then he told him tequila, like, you know, because my husband at one time had offered him a beer. And all of a sudden he thinks, I sat down with this guy and he's looking at him mad because I told him all these things about him and that he thinks he's a drunk. I have never told this man anything about my husband, and he's just been having things in his mind over and over, to the point right now where he goes to my closet, things that I use for church, he tells me, who do you wear these things for?
Okay. All right. So let me start with Dr. Jill Hubbard and see if she could give you some help here, and then we'll see what Alice has to say.
Well, Martha, first of all, I'm sorry. This is a very stressful situation, and, you know, It sounds like, too, that coincided, and I guess I'm wondering, are you saying that you stopped having sex with your husband when his kind of paranoid suspicions were stirred up?
Well, he was offending me, like telling me you're in love with this person, and I just didn't feel comfortable getting intimate with my husband. I feel like if he is giving me all that pressure in offending me, how can I, with all of my love, lay down with my husband? To me, I don't know what to do at this point. This is
Right.
So you're feeling hurt. So you're definitely, you know, pulling away. It seems like there's no middle ground for the two of you. I mean, this is certainly a situation where when you reach an impasse in a relationship like this, it's only going to deteriorate unless you get some help, unless the two of you can come together and sit with somebody and kind of have a meeting of the minds. A lot of times, too. So he's kind of fixed on, you know, we could say his delusion about this. I also wonder about your husband's acting out, because it isn't uncommon when someone is having an affair or doing pornography that they accuse their spouse of the very same thing. So I'm wondering if anything like that could be going on.
Well, yes, because he won't let me see his phone, and I asked him, let's go to counseling. No, I don't want to, especially those people that talk about God. I don't want to talk about it. I don't care about your God. And,
All right. And, so what do you think she should do, Jill, given that he might be? I mean, there has to be a positive step or two toward repair.
Right, right. And so I think, you know, instead of he's constantly throwing up roadblocks, Martha, I think you need to tell him that you want to move towards him. You want to love him in the way that you guys once did, and that it isn't your desire to withhold from him, but you need to meet, you know, he needs to meet you in the middle. And I would ask him, what does he suggest for moving forward? Okay, because to just throw up all these roadblocks and not have a solution, where does this go from here, right? So you need to try to engage him in helping to solve the problem and see what he would be willing to do in moving towards you.
And then, so a way to do that is you might say, okay, so this started with you accusing me of this. And now we're totally separated, totally, completely. I want to see if we can't get closer together. I miss us before all this happened. So
can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? Last Thursday, he grabbed me because he wanted to make me say, yes, I've been unfaithful. Just tell me. Tell me that you've been unfaithful. And he grabbed me and he threw me, and I said, no, this is the last time. Right now I'm staying at my sister's house.
Okay, so he threw you, and now you've moved out. Okay.
Yes.
So,
well, I haven't moved out. I just told him I was coming to see my mom, because he told me, if you leave, I'm lucky, I'm changing the lock, you're not coming back, and he keeps threatening me.
Okay. Well, let's get Alice's perspective. What do you think would be the most helpful thing that she could do?
I'm going to offer a thought or two in a moment, Martha. Two quick questions. Do you have any children together? Martha, do you have any children with your husband?
But they're older. They're older. We met
but they're older. Okay. And and are you receiving any professional help at this point? Are you seeing a therapist?
No,
you're not.
No,
okay.
I've been to retreats just to, you know, to keep myself.
Okay,
so Martha, last question. What do you want from us? What's your question?
I would like some advice of, do I just say, because he wants nothing to do with God. He always mocks me regarding me going to church. He doesn't want to go to church.
So I'm going to cut to the chase, Martha. You want advice on how to move forward. And what I would offer to you is that I think you need the guidance, the ongoing guidance of a therapist here, because there are a couple of different things. One is the self-protection that you're going to need moving forward, because he lashed out at you physically, lashed out with anger. And then also a path of how you can, if you're going to move forward with this, what you will need to require and ask of him because of your suspicions of his infidelity. So I think you can offer to him that you would take a polygraph test because you have nothing to hide. And I think that would be a show of good faith to him. And I think you should also offer him transparency by saying, here are my passwords, here's my email, you can take a look at any of it, here's my phone too. But I also need to ask the same from you. new husband. We need shared transparency to be able to move forward. I'm going to go get a therapist, and I want you to come with me for the sake of our marriage. We need intervention. A start might also be a pastor if he's unwilling to see a therapist, but perhaps if you're church going, maybe he'd be willing to talk with a pastor. But what's so important, Martha, is that you follow through on this no matter what his response is to you. So I want you to go ahead.
Well, here's a dilemma. It sounds like that he is so totally unwilling. And I want to talk about another issue in a second. But I think her in Al-Anon, her in Sex-Anon or a codependency group, along with the counselor, is really going to be the only way she's going to find some insight and wisdom to move forward. Because I'm with you guys. I think there's something going on with him, but there may not be.
And are there drugs and alcohol involved? I mean, what's happening?
Right.
But it's getting volatile. Yeah. It's getting dangerous. Mm-hmm.
But if he has the problem with alcohol, then, of course, the answer here, he gets treatment first. And then all this other stuff falls in place. But it brings me to a question. We've had this come up a few times. So, the Bible says, don't withhold sex from each other. Now, is that an optional scripture? Is that one of those things where, you just, if you feel like it, fine. If not, it really is a problem for a lot of people because they think it's okay to stop other than mutual agreement. You certainly don't want to be intimate with somebody that's going to hit you or hate you.
Threatening and abusive. Exactly.
So, what, I mean... It seems like when she made that decision, things got worse, not better. It just seems like to me
I don't think that's the answer, but I think you have to come towards someone and say, I want to be with you, but I am so hurt, I don't feel safe being with you.
And you can clarify, what do I need to be able to feel safe enough to be with you? So I'm willing to be intimate with a husband that gets counseling with me. I'm willing to be intimate with a husband who's transparent with me. And then that gives the power to the spouse.
Yeah, see, I agree. I think here's what I take from that scripture. I think it's very powerful. And it also, you know, scripture says for a man not to, for a woman not to, your body's not yours, all that. So if you reach that point where there's some kind of impasse in the relationship, okay, then let's say we have to get help. Hey, I don't feel right about this. We have to get help because this is going to drive a bigger wedge between us. So let's go get the help so that this becomes, once again, a healthy part of our relationship, not something that stays broken. Now, Martha, I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. There is tremendous, tremendous help in this book. Over not reacting to him, but being responsive to God, there is a great section on how valuable you are to God and that giving you the right and the responsibility to make good choices for yourself. And you guys, I mean, anytime you're suspicious and there's no evidence, and here there's no evidence these people were ever together, ever. So... You have to do something when you hit these snags like this. Anything else you want to add, guys?
Well, it's just maybe a little more of the same, but I would really wonder from him, why is it that you want me to say something to you? Why do you need me to say this to you, even if it's not true? What does this do for you?
Because, all right. So I'm hoping her getting strong and healthy will somehow draw him into a path and a process that can lead there also. I want to talk to Carrie from Mobile, Alabama, Sirius XM. Hey there.
Hi, Steve, Jill, Allison. How y'all doing today?
Hi, Carrie.
We're doing all right. We had a tough call there to start off with on Friday. Maybe we ought to go back to the classic programs. But we're glad you're on with us from Mobile, Alabama.
Okay, well, I'm not calling about any problems, if that makes a good thing.
Oh, that's great.
I actually wanted to call and thank you guys. I've been listening to you on XM for the last almost 3 years. My boss is a devout Christian, and he actually got me into listening to the Christian channel on XM. And I have listened to you guys dedicatedly for the last 3 years. I've actually called you a couple other times. Once you helped me with my teenage daughter. You guys also gave me some advice when my mom passed away suddenly. You also helped me with a brand new marriage because I had been single for 17 years and I was struggling to find a connection with my husband and not lose my own independence, I guess. And then here recently, just actually maybe a month or so ago, I actually took custody of my granddaughter. And you guys sent me a book on that to kind of help me with that because, you know, having issues with the parents and everything. I wanted to thank you guys because you have given me so much to work with in my life, even just your help with other people and listening to the stuff that they're going through. And I've added it into my life how to be able to communicate with people and get my feelings across without being offending, you know, offending anybody or, you know, at least making my kids understand that there's always a different path and to try new things in their life and to not be afraid and to open up to my spouse, which was really difficult. I wanted to thank you guys. You've been such an inspiration to me and just...
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, I am so thankful that we got a call that thanked us. And it's so great when we get to hear the results. And, you know, let me just encourage you, if you want to thank us, we're right here. I mean, we'll be here. We'll be here Monday,
but
Tuesday, Wednesday.
It's just a reminder of why we do what we do.
Yeah, right? It really is. And we love
that
doing
it works.
Yeah. So, hey, call us if you can and say thanks, and we'll thank you. Like, I'm going to send her the calendar. That's the least I can do. And you can get one, gift of any amount. But just to reiterate, we're going on November the 10th, all you Northern California listeners, Christ Community Church in Milpitas, 6 to 6:45, if you want to meet with one of our call screeners and get on the program that we're going to tape there. I think the whole thing starts at 7, and we love KFAX listeners. It's a great station, one of the greatest stations ever. And so come join us. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn, Chris Williams, we're all going to be there.
Right, it's all a right. Party. Join us.
Okay. Well,
we love it.
That's good. All right. Let's go to Ann from Boston, Massachusetts, one of my favorite cities. WEZE is the station. Ann, how you doing?
I'm okay. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I've been listening for a long time. And I have to say, no one was doing this back in the day. And, you know, blending Christianity with psychology was not that fashionable.
Yes,
and I think you guys started a trend that's really important for Christians everywhere. And I called you guys about a year ago to ask a question about my family. I was having some difficult family relationships. And you gave me advice that I really needed to seek a new family. I had some really difficult rejections. I won't rehash the whole thing, but I followed that advice. And so I'm a year into this process now of very little contact with my family. And my question is really a follow-up question. I'm grieving so much the loss of those relationships, and I feel a lot of guilt about having sort of abandoned my family, who I went through a lot of difficult times with. And unexpectedly, it has affected my mental health in a way that I wasn't anticipating. It felt better at first. It felt like relief at first, but now I'm kind of struggling with how to put those relationships to rest.
Okay. Alice, what do you think? Any insight here for her?
Yeah, Anne, I so appreciate you calling us back again. And it's understandable that you would be going through the grieving process and be struggling with guilt, because limiting contact with family of origin is a very tough decision to make. So I'd have two things I'd want you to consider. One is how you're grieving. Because when we proactively grieve with safe people, when we step into the emotion and we share what we're feeling and we let the feelings flow in the presence of safe people, it really helps move us along in the grief process. When we grieve in isolation, it tends to elongate the grieving process. And then, as you mentioned the guilt, I would also ask you to consider, in the presence of your safe people, where the guilt messages are coming from. Because I would assume your family of origin is reacting to you limiting your exposure to them, and the guilt messages might be coming from them, and it might be coming from you and your own conscience. But talking that out with people that have your best interests in mind and that will give you grace and truth will, I think, help continue to move you forward in this process.
Yes,
Jill,
that was
thoughts?
Great, Alice.
Aunt Alice.
Anne. So, Anne, you know, there's no exact length of time for grief, and there are different stages that you pass through, and that's what you're commenting on. I think one of the things in moving away from, and you said initially it was relief, and now you're in touch with the loss of that, is that moving away from and engaging with others that are safe helps you to, in that distance, get some perspective on your family. So as you're grieving and missing that and missing what you wished it could be and embracing what it actually is, right, you're gaining a more realistic perspective. And in that, you can then determine what your family is capable of or not capable of. And forgive me, I don't remember all the details of your story before, but what can you count on with them? And knowing that difference is really, really helpful in moving forward, because it may mean that in having safe people in your life that you can depend on, then you can engage with your family on a limited basis and
sure.
You know,
yeah.
Being realistic about what that looks like. And so
the past year wasn't an all out, you know, change immediately. I did kind of test the waters and maybe set more realistic expectations about what they could and couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I realized that that meant almost nothing. And so that process was really difficult. And it was what I guess I expected. And so the letdown was sort of slow. And I'm just at the place now where it's almost nothing. I have contact with one of my sisters. And even that's very strained. And she occasionally says things that revisit the kind of perspective of me that was really difficult.
Yeah.
And I think, Steve, it was you that said to me, I want you to get to a place where you can you know, hear them say things about you that are untrue and just sort of laugh on the other end of the phone.
Right.
I forget amused, the phrase that you
amused
used.
Detachment.
Amused detachment. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But,
yeah.
But first, before you can ever get there, you've got to grieve. And, you know, like it says in Ecclesiastes 3:4, time to grieve, time to dance. And this is a grieving time for you. And then it's a forgiving time. And then we go from forgiving to accepting them. And then we can start to step back from what they say and realize that's just who they are. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.NewLife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Melody Beatty's done a lot of writing in the recovery world. She said this about gratitude. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and even more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates vision for tomorrow. If you've ever been in a relationship where the person was not grateful to be in the relationship with you, I've been in that kind of relationship, by the way, there's nothing that you can do that will ever be enough. And yet when they're grateful for the good things about you, it is enough for them. So what's the problem? Well, I do think most people have a gratitude problem. They focus, our society kind of gets us to do this. They focus on the negative, not the good stuff, not the positive things. They focus on the weaknesses, the mistakes, the blunders, and not the gifts that God has given the other person. So if you're not grateful, a lot of things are not going to work for you. So I want to challenge you to be grateful. As I said before, said this past week, I'm preaching after Thanksgiving, and my title is Thanksliving. It's one thing to say you're grateful. It's another thing
to... I like that, Steve.
Thanksliving.
Yeah. It's you live it out. You live it by loving people that are difficult to love, giving to people that don't deserve to be given to, to providing people that are ungrateful for what you provide. That's Thanksliving. And what's the result? What's the reward? God blesses you for Thanksliving. I don't think he blesses you for saying how grateful you are. Because talk is really cheap. Talk's really cheap. Okay? So be thankful. All right, let's go back to the phones, and there's no need to call because we've got so many calls here on Friday. But if you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that's the number. And if you can help us, that's also the number. Let's go to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Here's a Sirius XM listener. By the way, it's 1:31 at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Cheryl, Fayetteville, Arkansas. Going to be down there on the 30th doing an interview with Family Life Today. And I'm on the 15th of November, Dave Stoop and I are on Focus on the Family, remind everybody. But right now, let's talk to Cheryl. How are you?
Hi. Oh, I'm doing okay.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned. I'm like in my 60s.
Okay.
And about 6 months ago, I fell and I fractured some bones. I'm healing, and I'm healing really well, and I can walk now without a walker. But my husband's just not interested in being intimate, and he's got diabetes, so I don't know if it's being afraid that he might hurt me or not being able to be intimate. I don't know.
All right. So the question for us is what? What to do? All right. Well,
yeah,
you know, okay. If I was talking to your husband, I would say to him, hey, let's just say that your diabetes has made you feel less like a man than you used to. And I would say to him, my advice to you is to rethink what sexual intimacy is all about. That it's not just about you being some macho guy, but it's about connecting with your wife in ways that may not even involve sexual intercourse. And when couples adjust to this, sometimes the satisfaction, the connection, the intimacy increases, not decreases. So I'd be saying that to him. I'd be saying to you, hey, this might be a really tough time for him. Be patient with him. Don't criticize him and let him know that you're in this for the long haul, and if he's got some adjustments to make, it's okay. You're there for him. And then I would be sure that he's getting the best medical care, and if he needs some kind of supplements that might help him in some way, talk to your doctor, see if that might help also. Alice, what are your thoughts when you hear something like this where he has no interest?
Yeah, Steve, it strikes me, Cheryl, that it sounds like you may not have had a conversation about this yet. Mm-hmm. You said, I'm not sure why. It could be this. It could be that. So, although this might sound simplistic, I would ask you to request a time with him that you could sit down to talk about something serious. Let him choose the time and bring it up at a time that you're not about to go to bed, that mm-hmm. sex is not an issue at that
yeah.
time.
Good.
And then I want you to let him know, I miss you and I miss intimacy with you. And I bet it's been hard on you, husband, that I went through this accident and I'm in the healing process. And then, Cheryl, I would have you ask him, am I doing anything that might be pushing you away from me? And what could mm-hmm. I do differently for us to reconnect? Because I miss and I want that connection with you. Lastly, Cheryl, I would have you ask your husband, invite him, can we pray together about this so that we can reconnect and we can ask God's intervention to be intimate again? This is a tough conversation to have, so put the power in his hands of when to have the conversation.
Okay, so can I interject there a little bit?
Yeah.
'Cause I the same thing is, you know, when people aren't being physically intimate, I always wonder what's happening with the emotional intimacy, because that usually goes first. And why can't there be conversation about it, right? It's like if you don't even know what's going on with your husband, something's wrong there. Something has broken down. I love the idea of having this conversation and everything you said, Alice. I wonder, though, because sometimes it seems like for some men, when women say, I want to talk to you, it's like they freeze or they avoid, or it's like, oh, no. And so sometimes it's easier to have a conversation when you are engaged in something, when you're outside of the home, when you're out someplace where, not necessarily, you know, fully in public, where you're walking or talking, some kind of engagement that causes a relaxed environment to where then you can
take the pressure off.
Yeah, to take the pressure of we have to have a talk. Mm-hmm. Because I think that sends red flags for a lot of people on the receiving end of that. So you want to be more disarming in it and lovingly move towards him instead of putting him on the defense.
Sure.
Well, and a really good way to start, rather than saying, I want to talk to you about something, is to say, I have such a desire to be close to you in any way I can mm-hmm. be close to you. And so let's talk about how we can be as close as possible whenever we can. Sometimes that opens the conversation in the area of closeness, and that's a nice way to get a man into that conversation about mm-hmm. what happened to his desire. And, you know,
versus,
sometimes it's just a hormonal shift there. Both men and women, and, of course, sometimes aging, depression go together, and that destroys mm-hmm. the libido also. Mm-hmm. All right. Really glad that she called. Let's go to Lynn from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Lynn. Listening on WFIL. Great station there. How you doing today, Lynn? What's going on?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a question about I just need some guidance on the biblical guide. I need biblical guidance on submission to your husband.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is somewhat controlling. And one of the things he's controlling it about is he says I can't come in after 11:30.
You can't.
So if I
come in where?
Yes. Yeah.
Why do you want to be out after 11:30? Why do you want to be out after 11:30?
Well, we have some church events and evening church events, and sometimes they go after 11:30.
Mm-hmm. Now, does he not go to the same church? Mm-hmm. Does he go to the church with you?
No, that's. No.
Mm. Oh, I wonder what bothers him about that.
I honestly don't know. I can surmise that I think it looks bad. Like, where am I coming from? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, where am I coming from? 11:30 by myself. Yeah.
All right. I want to hear what Jill and Alice have to say. Then I want to give you my perspective on it.
Well,
but I want theirs first.
Well, again, I would want an understanding of his concern. Okay, he thinks it looks bad, so at 11:29 it doesn't look bad, but at 11:30 it looks bad. A lot of times when a request like this is made, it's for one's own comfort. It may be that he feels abandoned by you, that you're giving so much to your church. It's not something he's engaged in or maybe even wants to be engaged in, and there's a certain idea that some people have that you should be home for your husband at that time. And so I'm wondering if it's more of a self-serving need that he might have. And to be able to talk to him about that, to talk to him about, you know, what does it feel like when I come home so late and I've been involved outside of the home?
We're going to come back to you, but how late do you want to be out? I'm just curious, real quick.
Well, actually, it doesn't matter. It's just that I usually am home by 11:30. It's only like a few times when, for example, there's a...
All right, hold on. We'll be back after this.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. All right, so Lynn is expressing or telling us about a symptom of the separation. Once again, here we are married. There's separation. He doesn't go to church. She does. Alice, at the break, you said you got a couple of things that might help her pull it back together a little bit there.
Well, and we were considering that there kind of might be some extremes in this case. We just don't know enough that if your husband is controlling in a lot of areas, that's got to be extremely difficult for you. But I want to propose a way for you to gently invite him into conversation that may help with this particular situation. But it's going to be pretty tough for you to do what I'm going to ask of you, because you're understandably probably frustrated and kind of defensive. If all you want to do is go pray, why is he holding you back? But what I'm going to ask you to do is an invitation to intimacy, and it has a good probability of connecting the two of you together. So in that spirit, I want you to hear me out here. What you would do is you would approach him in conversation using something called the comfort circle that you might be aware of already, where you try to help uncover what his fear or his concern is. Maybe some trauma has occurred in your family after 11:30 at night. Maybe he's afraid for your safety. Maybe he's afraid about infidelity. It could be any number of things. But if you can approach him with questions and a willingness to listen rather than defend yourself, although that would be justified, you may be able to open his heart up. So it would start off with just asking, how do you feel when you think about me being out late at night? What are you afraid might happen? I want to know because I want to connect with you in this. Would you just tell me and I'm going to listen? And then after having heard him, all you would do is reflect back what you heard from him. Is this what I'm hearing you say? And try to validate his fear and his concern, even if you don't agree with it. The point of this conversation is not agreement, Lynn. It's just to try to draw him out, get in his shoes, and understand him.
Well, and to get him to verbalize what actually is going on inside of him, instead of this blanket, just, no, this is what I want you to do.
Yes.
There's so much more to it, and he may not even be fully aware of what's fueling his need to have you, abide by his mandates.
Yes.
And then here's a tough one. I mean, he's not a believer. And so she is. She goes to church. He doesn't. So she has a biblical mandate here. And this isn't a biblical mandate to enable evil, to enable unhealthy things. But when the Bible says, it says in Ephesians 5:33, so again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. Well, this guy probably doesn't even know how to love his wife. But she needs to at least, whatever is respectable in him, try to express that and show that respect. And I would just say, since he's a non-believer, I'm not saying that it's good for a man to say, hey, don't you stay out of that church. But I would just... if he says 11:30, I'd come home at 11:30. I wouldn't press it. I wouldn't push it. I would just do that out of respect for not only who he is, but respect for the fact he doesn't go to church, and you're not wanting to have the church be a source of alienation. Mm-hmm. Then if you guys can do some work that pulls you together, who knows? I mean, maybe one day you guys are closer than you are, and he's going to say, you know what, if you're in prayer there and it's an amazing experience, I'm okay with you staying out there. So,
right, in honoring him and growing in the intimacy, that may open him up to loosen the grip, because usually control is fueled by fear.
Yeah, well, that is right.
And Lynn, you'd be bringing in grace. You'd be allowing a space for God if you're willing to listen to your husband, and as Steve is suggesting, picking your battles. Mm-hmm. Because if he's controlling about a multitude of things, I think you can pick where to give in, and you can pick which hill you want to stay on and fight on. And that's this right. Just may not be the best one to do that on.
Okay, so if you have been listening, just in these few calls, you can see that people get stuck. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do. They don't repair. They don't restore. Here's what I know. I know that there is a path and there is a process that every person can get involved with. And it leads to some new hope that you don't experience right now. It leads to some healing and restoration and even transformation, not just of you, but of the person that you think maybe has the biggest problem. If you don't know what that path is, and you don't know what the steps are in that process, we'll tell you right now. And all you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I am so grateful. I was just talking with all of those folks there at our call center. I'm so grateful that they're there. They're so smart. They're so wise. They can help you in whatever it is that you need help in. And there's nothing that you could say that would shock them. There's probably not a situation they haven't heard. But the beginning of a path and a process to hope and healing and restoration is a phone call to 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or you can just sit there, do nothing, and expect God to do what maybe God is expecting you to do. So I want to challenge you to pick up the phone and say, okay, what's that path and what's that process? Now, one of the folks that called us here, and it was her second call, I forgot to send her a book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, that Jill wrote. And that really does involve all those things I was talking about, grieving, mm-hmm. forgiving, accepting. And sometimes, I'm telling you folks, you are holding everything your parents did to you against the very person you're married to, uh-huh. and you don't know yeah. it. And so you've got to resolve that with them. And then you're free in the relationship that you're in. We just went through Halloween. A lot of people were wearing masks, you know? Well, a lot of times it's as if your spouse is wearing the mask of your father or mother. And you're reacting to them as if they were father and mother. And you have Absolutely. No idea. But when you forgive, you resolve it. And so order this book. Order this book if that rings true. Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. Now, I want to tell you about a couple of things. December 1st in Dallas is Every Man's Battle. And what a great way to end the year. You could change everything. And 2018 could be absolutely the greatest year of your life. But you got to call us and let us help you. Most of the time, the woman who's involved with this guy calls first, and then she tells him to call. 75% of people go to Every Man's Battle because she made the first phone call. Restore, that's for the woman. That's November the 10th in Washington, D.C. And that's when, you know, we're going to be out in Northern California saying thank you to our KFAX folks. But on the other side of the coast, Washington, D.C., hope for a woman's heart. Restore, so many women have experienced hope and healing. Living Light is January the 26th in D.C., and Intimacy in Marriage, February the 16th. In Southern California, and Take Your Life Back, March the 16th in Southern California. What an amazing opportunity to go to these weekends. They change everything. We've been talking about gratitude, and some of you don't have enough friends because you're not grateful. And the research shows gratitude helps you develop friendships. Isn't that amazing? Well, of course, if you're a grateful person, people want to be around you. If you're always complaining, well, the only people that want to be around you are complainers. And so if you want great friendships, you develop that gratitude muscle. How do you do it? You take a risk. You plant a seed of gratitude. You watch what happens. And it really can. And so love somebody that doesn't deserve it. Forgive somebody that needs forgiving. That's the way to live with Thanksgiving. Another thing you could do is, if you're grateful enough to be generous, would you support us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE. If you need help, or you can help us. Thank you, Alice. Thank you, Jill. See you next time.
This program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.